This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون.
Inshallah, today we will continue with the lessons from the lives of the Sahabas, and we will continue with the story of Umar radiallahu anh and his famous nightly patrols. In this particular story, Aslam radiallahu anh, he narrates that one night we decided to walk in the streets of Medina. And of course, the reasons for his nightly patrols was to see if there were any Muslims that were in need, or just to see if hopefully no haram acts, nothing illegal was happening. So Umar radiallahu anh found it his responsibility to make sure that everyone had what they needed that night. So Umar radiallahu anh would do this on a nightly basis. This particular night, they were walking on the streets of Medina. And as they were walking, Umar radiallahu anh became a little tired. And he found a wall and he decided to sit down and lean on that wall just to take a bit of rest. And as they were taking a bit of rest, Umar radiallahu anh, he heard a conversation from the other side of the wall. Now, the houses back then were not like the houses of today. As you can see behind me, we've got brick houses, and a lot of the times you will not be able to hear conversations inside of the house. But in those days, you know, those houses and the walls, you were able to hear conversations inside if you were very close. Now Umar radiallahu anh, he heard the conversation. He was not eavesdropping. He just happened to be there on that wall, leaning on that wall to take a bit of rest. Now the conversation that he heard was between a mother and a daughter. The mother was instructing the daughter to mix milk with some water. Now they were both milkmaids and there were no males in the family. So that was the only source of income. So in order to gain a little bit of more wealth or more money, the mother was instructing the daughter to mix the milk with water so that it looks like that the quantity of milk is much more, so that they can make a little bit more money. And when you mix milk with water, you can't really tell the difference because it still looks like milk and there won't be much of a difference in taste. Now, upon hearing this, the girl or the daughter, she said, "Didn't you hear Amirul Mu'mineen announce publicly that nobody is allowed to mix milk with water? I mean, this is deception." So the mother then replied to the daughter and said, "Where is Umar and where are we? Umar is not here." The daughter then said, "Yes, Umar is not here, but the Lord of Umar can see us." Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see us. And this is something we should not do. SubhanAllah, this girl, this daughter, had taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She had the Allah consciousness with her. She did not want to deceive others and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset. Now Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard this conversation. He was so happy with what he heard from this girl. He told Aslam to mark this house and find out if this girl is married. Now when he found out that this girl was not married, he went to his sons, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman and Asim, and asked the three of them, "Is there any one of you that is in need of a wife, or do you guys want to get married? Because I know of a righteous girl." Now Umar radiallahu anh did not see this girl. This wasn't his criteria to see how beautiful she was, how much money they have. No, all he knew, this girl was fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted the best for his sons. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman, they said, "No, we are not in need of a wife." But Asim, he said, "Yes, I would love to get married." So Umar radiallahu anh took Asim, and both Asim and this girl saw each other and they were pleased, they were happy, they agreed on the marriage and they were both married. This beautiful story, subhanAllah, there is so many lessons that we can learn from this story. The first lesson that I want to mention is to be truthful. To be truthful and have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when doing business. This is very important. A lot of the times when we do business with others, when we are dealing with clients, we love to lie. And we lie consistently just to make an extra buck. I'll give you one very famous example. You know, when you're selling cars or when you want to buy a car and you go and you see that car, and let's say the person who owns the car happens to be a Muslim, and this happens quite often, the guy will tell you, "Wallahi brother, this car is absolutely beautiful. There is nothing wrong with this car. The engine runs smoothly. You know, there has been no accidents on the car. You know, the odometer as well, everything is perfect." And this is something that is quite common. Now, we hear this a lot, but that car was probably in an accident a few months ago. Maybe the engine is not running that smoothly, and maybe they've turned the clock a little bit on that, subhanAllah. And this happens so much these days. And that's just one example. Another way of deception is we cheating the government. And this happens so much, especially when we're doing our tax return. We want to make a bit of extra money, and we say, you know what, we live in a kuffar country, you know, there's no problem at all taking a little bit more from the government. No, where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that you can do that just because you live in a kuffar country? I mean, many of us have chose to live here. We need to abide by the laws. If we deceive the government, this is cheating the government. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, "Man ghasha falaysa minna." Whoever cheats is not from us. And he made this very, very clear. So let's not cheat anybody, the government, our clients, when doing business, or anyone. So that insha'Allah ta'ala, the money that we can earn is halal. And if we do decide to cheat others, know that this is a sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that money away from you in another place anyway. That's the first lesson. The second lesson that we learn is fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private. When we look at this example of this girl, subhanallah, she had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while she was alone in her home. Umar, as she knew, was not there. He couldn't hear anything, although Umar was there. But she had the fear of Allah because she knows that Allah can see me. And this is something that we need to have wherever we are, in public or in private. But unfortunately, many of us, when we know that nobody is looking, our employer is not looking, our wives are not looking, our husbands are not looking, our children are not there, our relatives are not there, our parents are not there, we decide to commit sins because we think no one is watching and no one is monitoring. Yet we forget that the one who monitors everything is monitoring us, is seeing us, is hearing us, knows what's in your heart, subhanallah. How can we deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are only deceiving ourselves. We need to make sure that we have the taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and in private. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, "Usikum bi taqwa Allahi azza wa jal fi sirri amarik wa ala niyati." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, "I request all of you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public or in private matters." So we need to establish that in our hearts and in our minds. And the last lesson that we learn from this beautiful story is marry the right spouse. Umar radiallahu an did not look at how much money this girl has or how beautiful she is for his sons. No. His main criteria was the deen, that she is fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Tunkiha al-mar'a li-arba'a, li-maliha wa li-jamaliha wa li-hasabiha wa li-deeniha, fadfar bi-dhati al-deen tarbat yadak." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a woman is married for four reasons: for her wealth, for her beauty, for her lineage, and for her deen. And the Prophet said, choose the one that has deen. Now, this does not mean that you only look for the one that has deen and forget about the beauty. No, you need to be attracted to the person. And Umar radiallahu anhu made Asim and this girl see each other first, making sure that they would like to marry each other. And then the marriage took place. But the first criteria should be deen. Because when you have deen in the marriage between the husband and the wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His blessings on that marriage. At the same time, I mean, this hadith, as we can say that it's for the men looking for women. What about women looking for men? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, talking to the fathers of daughters, when a man approaches you and proposes for your daughter's hand in marriage, and you are happy with his deen and his akhlaq, then marry your daughters to him. Of course, with her permission. And if you do not do so, then expect corruption that will spread. So subhanallah, the deen is so important, and of course the akhlaq is very, very important. That should be the criteria when looking for a spouse, so that you can see blessings that will descend upon the marriage. And subhanallah, this marriage that happened between Asim and this girl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed it, that Allah gave them a righteous daughter who then gave them a very famous man, a man who was known as the fifth rightly guided caliph. And that was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, subhanallah. Now, he wasn't the fifth khalifa, but he was the fifth rightly guided caliph, meaning out of all of the khalifas, he was the fifth greatest after Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. And he was a noble, righteous man who led with justice, subhanallah. The great grandson of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When your marriage is based on deen and to please Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that marriage, will give you children, offsprings that will make dua for you, or that will be a path for you to enter.